such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, welcome everyone. God bless you for tuning into The Winds of Change on a wonderful Wednesday or whatever day you're listening to your podcast. This is Father Tom Coyes on a brain-wrinkling Wednesday. And I, as always, crazy things going on and our need for prayer, right? All this crazy stuff going on just should, if it does nothing else, it should certainly turn us to prayer and
Danger, Will Robinson.
The dangers around us. I wonder how many of our listeners remember that version of Lost in Space. You know, there's a new version of Lost in Space. I think it only has two seasons. But anyways, that shows the how so many of the creative minds are picking from past generations, as it were. Hey, I want to say God bless you for praying for our little trip to Washington, D.C., 500,000 or perhaps 1 million strong. It seemed a little smaller crowd this year, yet it was cold, but a lot of enthusiasm. And I did not see many counter-protesters, although some people said there's always a few there. The main story of that huge march, which is, as they say, somewhere between 500,000 and 750,000, if not 1 million people. I don't think there were 1 million people there this year. We were able to start walking once the a key factor in my estimating the crowd has to do with how quickly we can walk and get onto Pennsylvania Avenue or Independence Avenue, whichever one you're going to talk about, after the last speaker speaks on the platform. And in previous years, we would stand there in the big crowd for almost 2 hours. We were only about 45 minutes before we started walking. So that gives me an indication that the crowd wasn't as big, of course. And it's so sad to see the Capitol building with these big iron fences around the beautiful balconies that you can often just stand there and look over the mall. It's just beautiful. But, of course, that is off limits now. The People's House is no longer the People's House, as it were. There's that sense of fear of attack. I hate to even use the word insurrection. The January 6th. Such a sad situation in life, anyways.
Oh, when will this mad whirlwind existence ever stop?
I don't think it will. I don't think it will. until the second coming of the Lord. And we have to accept the fact that there's this conflict, there's these battles, there's these minority situation, minority opinions, majority opinions. It shifts, it ebbs, it flows, all the rest throughout human history. That's why what keeps me sane a lot is reading history, since the present day often can drive you crazy when you read history and you see all the similar battles often that have happened in the past. And so we pray that we can figure a better way out. I love that quote from John Adams. I don't think I could find it right off the bat, but in that wonderful HBO series on John Adams, I encourage everybody to watch that. It's like 10 parts or 12 parts. But at one point, you probably know John Adams goes to France and England to try to curry support from the French and to make demands in England during the Revolutionary War. And then afterwards, he was trying to establish diplomatic and business trade relations and what have you. But as John Adams is talking to one of the French aristocrats who says, do you like and appreciate opera very much, Mr. Adams? And John Adams, probably never been to an opera, he says, no, I don't think I know too much about opera. You see, I have to study war. And it sort of shocks the Frenchman.
You study war? No!
He says, I have to study war so that we can understand how to prevent future wars. And then my children can study agriculture. And then their children could study mathematics. And then their children can study poetry and music. It's a very wise and insightful quote because it shows the difficulty in achieving unity, peace. The word unity is used a lot, and I want to mention something about that. We say unity, we mean peace, of course, peace within between peoples, and of course, there is a. There's a false sense of peace, which is the absence of war, and of course, that kind of peace can exist with many people robbed of their freedom. When there are many slaves, if the slaves are not revolting or uprising, you could say, "Oh, we're at peace." But it's certainly not peace for those who are deprived of their freedom, as it were. Let me say that this kind of hit me in praying about and thinking about how do we proceed. Many of the listeners know about the issue that has occurred about over the liturgy in the Catholic liturgy and the conflict over how to do the liturgy and. The idea that the old Mass, or even various uses and forms of the old Mass, are a great cause of disunity, a division. And I'm thinking about that a lot these days because I've always loved the four marks of the Church. Remember the four marks of the Church? When you're thinking about joining a church, you should want to join the true Church. As it were, you should want to find the right church, the one that is truly the most godly and has the most going for it, of course. And it shouldn't be just who has the best coffee, though I, for one, like good coffee. And it shouldn't be the church that would offer the best music, though I like wonderful music. There's something called the four marks of the Church, and unity, apostolic zeal, let me refresh my mind on those, but I'm focusing on unity, the oneness of the Church. One holy, Catholic, and apostolic. There we go. One means it's unified. We don't have many Catholic churches. One holy, it has many saints, both now and throughout the ages. Holy. Catholic means it's universal. It's not just national. It's not just tied to one nation or one tribe of people, but it's universal. One holy Catholic and apostolic, that it does a lot of good in the world for people, especially service to those who need service in one way or another, right?
Wow.
Yeah, that.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
That's a brain wrinkler. We have to remember those four marks of the church. That's what's known as the four marks of the church. One, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. I need to tie it to the transcendentals. That's another, that's a philosophical theory of terminology. I think it's more than a theory. It seems rock solid truth, as it were. Anyways, the reason I'm bringing that up is that different liturgies are having some different liturgies, especially those that would use some of the traditional gestures and language, as it were. It's said that that is causing disunity, and it certainly can, just the way any parish that has masses in different languages creates disunity, right? We all know that. A web that the human race weaves for itself with the different languages. And of course, even if all the different masses are all the same, like the Vatican II, of course, Novus Ordo Mass, but if they're all in different languages, that will cause division. But in meditating on the old Mass, let's change our thoughts a bit to the old Mass, and of course it takes some getting used to it. It's much different. But what I hear people saying, and this is the key factor, my friends, what I hear people saying often enough is that they find it beautiful. And that word beauty is worth stopping on for a moment, because you could argue that unity is broken by different views of goodness or truth. If people have different doctrines, unity will be broken. If you have different moral stands or moral principles, unity will be broken. But it doesn't really work the same with that fourth transcendental that both Aristotle and Thomas Aquinas hold so high, want us to think about. The situation with the liturgy, it gave me a new level of appreciation for this form of the transcendental, namely beauty. And being a bit of an artist myself, I've always had an appreciation of beauty. I think we all naturally do. I know what I like, and when I see something or someone beautiful, you don't have to dissect it or explain it. There is something godlike in something beautiful. And of course, right away, I could think of the beautiful mountain ranges of the Rocky Mountains. It's my favorite mountain range is the Grand Tetons in Wyoming. Can't help but look at that and say, wow, how beautiful that could be. There's also, of course, beautiful flowers. There's also, here's a strange thing. I sometimes see beauty in a lot of the oil refineries and industrial complexes that dot the landscape out here where I hang my hat out in the southwest suburbs. There's, if you ever driven past one of the oil refineries out near Lockport and these big factories of, well, they take oil and make gasoline. I used to hate those things. I used to think they're so ugly. And by and large, they do ruin a beautiful landscape. I would hate to see an oil refinery built on the foothills at the Grand Teton Mountains. They just don't fit together. But you can even see beauty in an oil refinery, especially at night when all those twinkling lights. It looks pretty. And you can see beauty, obviously, in a cityscape with the lights, the buildings, the painting of buildings, et cetera, the shape, architecture, and all that. Anyways, my point being that that this transcendental is something that helps us reach up to God. It opens a window to God. Bishop Bob Barron is really big on this. He often says, in evangelizing, we have to lead with beauty. And I think I know what he means. I always add the caveat, it depends on who you're talking with. Although everyone has a sense of beauty, but the beautiful is not always equal or the same. Here's what I want everyone who might start to think about the old mass or the new mass. You know, is the old mass a great divider? Is it really what is destroying the unity of the church? There certainly is a lot of theology that you can draw from the form of the mass and all the rest. As a matter of fact, I'd like to share a couple of quotes from the old Archbishop Thomas Cranmer, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury right in the time of King Henry VIII, and he started changing the mass really broke the Catholic mass. The Tridentine mass actually hadn't been written yet, though the mass had all these elements in it that Thomas Cranmer didn't want. So anyways, I'm saying that because there are a lot of theological issues that you can draw out from when you talk liturgy, of course. But there is something just basic when we see it as something beautiful. And again, beauty isn't always the same for everybody. So I want us to appreciate the nature of the old mass as something beautiful, and that it may not be beautiful to everybody, but that it's beautiful for some is very important, and that should be respected. As a matter of fact, I need to tie this into our domestic church, our sense of unity within our families. There seems to be a great, important lesson that we need to draw from our domestic church, our family experiences, that really can and should apply to our ecclesiology, the experience of the church as a family that has that goes beyond and ties not only tribes together but nations together and all people of goodwill together. So let's take our first break, okay? And I want to try to hash that out a little bit with you, if you could keep listening, as it were, to this brain-wrinkling Wednesday. So anyways, I'm Father Tom Coy's guest host on The Winds of Change, and you are listening to the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland. It's WSFI 88.5 FM and AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
I'm Father Tom Coyes, Winds of Change guest host, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
The cold and snow is just about here. And so, Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stanislaus Kostka is asking for donations of new or used men's winter coats. You may drop them off Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. to 12 noon at the Soup Kitchen off the church parking lot. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Thank you for your generosity.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. God bless you for tuning in to this brain-wrinkling Wednesday. I'm trying to make us think about the concept of unity, which is one of the transcendentals and one of the four marks of the church, in relationship to the other transcendental called beauty. Because it's of a different category, and that's why it deserves its own term, we all know. And so I'd like us to consider what lessons can we draw from unity within a family, our domestic church experience, that we can and should apply to the bigger church called the Catholic Church, wherever it goes throughout the world, throughout the history, right? So I want to see. I'd like us to appreciate the erroneous charge that having a few diverse and different forms of the liturgy are causing disunity. And let's think of it this way: in a family. Take, an extended family, whether your own first personal family, your first biological family, let's say, a mother and a father and 5 children, okay? And then let's consider a family event where extended family are present. Could be a Thanksgiving, a Christmas dinner, a baptism, a wedding, a wedding banquet, etc., where the family... Weddings are very good to analyze because it's drawing 2 clans together and they're trying to form a new family with a husband and wife, but the 2 other families are forged together a little bit, but not so much. But anyways, let's consider the other transcendental called truth versus the transcendental called beauty. Now, if people are arguing and have much different understandings of what is true, that will cause division, right? Let's say Uncle George and Uncle Bill are deep enemies because. They have strong different opinions on how to run a business, shall we say. Let's just make it simple for our arguments here. One is in favor of great higher taxes, and the other is advocate for lowering taxes to make the economy go. You could say that they have a strong difference of opinion on the truth of tax policies. That will certainly cause division within the family structure. Let's take another example where two sides of the family may take 2 different sides of a big issue that happened, and of course can't help but think of someone gets divorced, and so you're invited to another wedding. Reception, a banquet, or could be even at Christmas time, a big family dinner. And so obviously a new person who has divorced and brings in a new spouse to the family, there could be some in the family that will side with the one spouse and the others will side with the other spouse, right? That's just how it often happens. That is a good example of an enemy of unity, right? This you could call it the a stand on whether it's true or is this marriage a true marriage or a false marriage? That, of course, is it a doorway into the teaching and the reality of what us Catholics call an annulment. When someone is divorced and does not get an annulment, we hold that person as still married to the first person, because we're looking for the Church to help us say which one is the true marriage, right? It does become a matter of true and false, or versus right and wrong. True and false, of course, is related to right and wrong in this regard. So the right and wrong binary has to do with mark of the Church called apostolic, where we're doing good works, or the transcendental called goodness itself, right?
Wow.
You're on the good side or the bad side.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Yeah, and it's related to the true or the false. We could see how those issues do cause division and disharmony within a family, right? Could think of a thousand different examples come about. Someone in the family, whether at our hypothetical family gathering, comes out and says they're gay. And they say, I'm going to bring my partner to dinner. And what are we going to do? What are we going to say? And of course, a lot of people will say nothing, or give them a big hug and wish them well. And when they tell you the date of their wedding, you tell them, I'll be there with bells on. And but others in the family will say, oh, okay, so you're gonna marry a person of the same sex, huh? That's it's unfortunate that your view of human sexuality has been perverted by the hedonistic life philosophies of the day, and I won't be able to come and be at your wedding, because I don't agree that that's a true marriage, as it were. Okay, so obviously you know those are the things that would cause disunity in a family, right? In a family gathering. Let me throw out one more before. Before getting to the main point, I think here, a division between financial status, right? In a big family, there are some people who are more wealthy and other people who are struggling and poor, right? And so there may be a great division that would come about because somebody is not paying their fair share, right? Or holding the, let's say there was a death in the family and an inheritance went out and some people got more money than somebody else because of the wishes of the person who died. Or in a business situation, some people went into business together, right? Both put in $100,000 and business is going through difficult times, and one person sort of bails out, or one person works really, really hard to pull the business up, another person doesn't. That obviously would cause division within the family, right? That could fit under the transcendental category of goodness or truth. Remember, it's good and evil, which is related to right and wrong. Then there's true and false, related to what is and what isn't. That's where metaphysics will come into play, my friends. A good Catholic understanding of what is true has to be related to our understanding of what is. And there are very many different ways of being. Something can be in a physical sense. Something can be in a spiritual sense. Something can be in a psychological sense. And anyways, we'll have to talk more about the relationship between epistemology and metaphysics. How about that for a topic someday? Epistemology is always how do we know things, and our philosophies of knowing, how do you appreciate education, and the science of being itself is what we call metaphysics. Anyways, okay, so there you have it. I just laid out a number of different issues that could wreak havoc on the unity of a family. Am I right?
Whoa. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Yeah. Okay. Now, let's bring in the transcendental of something beautiful. I see, as I mentioned before, I see beautiful mountains as very beautiful. Purple Mountains Majesty, right? Don't we sing that in our patriotic songs? I see paintings, or I'll see gardens, of course, is something very beautiful. We have a very beautiful garden here in my little church. There's a lot of things that I would say, I'll point at that and say it's beautiful. And of course, do I need to say this part? I don't want to offend anybody, but sometimes a man will look at a woman and one will say, she is beautiful, or this other one is not so beautiful. one could like blondes versus brunettes versus redheads versus what have you, right? And vice versa, you know, guys have a certain beauty. I don't like to use that word. There's cute, maybe, handsome, right? But it's, philosophically speaking, it's all the same. Whether a woman looks at a guy and says he's handsome, that's still under the category of beauty, philosophically speaking. By the way, I just went to go see a very interesting, a good movie called American Underdog, about Kurt Warner, who was a quarterback for the St. Louis Rams, and it traces his career, very difficult, starting out as just a farm boy in Iowa and not making it. The reason I'm saying that is because he seems like he would be a perfect example of what a woman would say, stud muffin. Okay, that's beside the point. So, but here's my main point. When we say liturgy, you can't ignore the idea that some things that we do ritualistically have this category called beauty. There's something beautiful about it. And this is what I want to say. I have an appreciation for the beauty of the old Mass. There's gestures and movements and visual aspects and sentient, like smelling, there's more incense, right? Sound with the bells going on. There's a kind of a silence too that can be beautiful. I don't know if I could explain this the right way, but even in the silence, when I'm moving around at the altar, and especially if you've been at Mass when the church is basically quiet, but the priest is doing his little priestly thing up at the altar, and he clinks the cruets together. You know, you make little sounds with the cruets, and then you put something down on the glass plate, or this touches the cruet touches the chalice, and it makes a little sound. I remember when I was must have been fifth or sixth grade, a good sister showed us a little video or film strip. We didn't have videos and clips like we have today, but we had film strips. And there was trying to teach us about the Mass, and it showed the offertory with the priest touching the, putting the water and the wine in the chalice. And you, it was quiet except for those little clinks and the sounds that happened. And of course, that could happen both in the Novus Ordo and in the old Mass, the Tridentine Mass. But it seems like you get a little bit more of them in the Tridentine Mass. And so even that silence can be beautiful. And so does the variety, is can you say that differences in beauty destroy unity? Going back to the family situation, let's bring in a new couple that's coming to Christmas dinner or Thanksgiving dinner or something, and cousin Joe brings in his new romance, Susie, and so some people say, "Oh gosh, she's beautiful." Others will say, "What's her?" The fact that there would be two different views of beauty, or even just the topic of beauty itself, should not be a cause of disunity in the family, right? Or if someone you start comparing pictures of your living room, and one person in the family has a very modern looking living room, they think straight lines and bold colors with abstract art, all that is very beautiful, and that's the way they like to keep their house. Another person in the family likes more classic pictures, Rembrandt and Monet, if not originals, but imitations or whatever. You know what I'm saying. So you have various differences of what people think of as beautiful, and that should not be pointed at as a cause of disunity, right? That can actually be a cause of unity, where the variety is inevitable, and you want variety. If something is, everything beautiful, you can think of the most beautiful mountain picture, but if that's the only picture you have, and that's the only sense of beauty you have, it's going to get boring after a while. Or the most beautiful flower or garden can get boring after a while. The most beautiful woman could get a man bored after a while. If there's this craving for variety in the genre of beauty, that I think having the old Mass is different, and especially if people see beauty in it, and I think it does take a little effort at times to, you need to look for it. So anyways, I really think that, that meditating on the transcendentals and the concept of beauty and unity should help us appreciate the goodness of having the old Mass. And
you just wrinkled my brain, man.
You could say various things about different forms of beauty, and even in the Novus Ordo Mass, as of course, right, there's a lot of people have different tastes in music, and that's where the church often does allow a lot of variety. Anyways, I think we're past time for our next break, so let's get in our next break, right, Nick? I'm Father Tom Coy's guest host on The Winds of Change, and you're listening to the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland. WSFI, Catholic Radio, 88.5 FM, and WNDZ, AM 750.
Here's good news about a great school with in-person instruction for your child. Father Anthony is asking you to send your children to St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy for in-person instruction. Excellence in educating the mind, heart, soul, and spirit of each student. Cost should not be an obstacle to enrolling your child at St. Stan's Academy. We have scholarships and financial aid available to fit all budgets. Everyone who wants to give their child a Catholic education can do so at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. Faith, virtue, honor. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is an elementary school offering grades pre-kindergarten to 8th grade and is located minutes from downtown Chicago.
call the school office at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or visit sdstandschicago.org. For St. Stanislaus Koska Academy.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Koska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit sdstandschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Moving along here, I was trying to do a meditation on the transcendentals tied into our conversations and our evaluation and discussion of the old mass. Hopefully, if you haven't seen one of the old masses, I encourage you to do that and to see it as something beautiful. As I said before the break, it does take some looking. To see it, because it's certainly not what you're used to if you've never gone to an old mass. But if you have to have a book. I always tell people you got to have a book to follow along that really forces you to participate in a radical way. Sometimes even more so than when you're at a Novus Ordo English mass, when you don't have a book and you assume you're obviously because you know English and it's in English, you're just following along, but you could spaz out very easily if you're reading and trying to follow along. You are deeply involved in the prayers, kind of like what we say so often, the book is better than the movie, right? When you're reading something, your mind and your imagination fill in things sometimes even better than the movie. Okay, so I want to shift here for a while because the topic du jour never changes so much, and COVID is one of those never going away things. I encourage you to look at some of the video from something called the Stop the Mandates rally in Washington, D.C. It happened actually the day after we left Washington, D.C. For the March for Life, which was on, the march was on Friday, then on Sunday, we left on Saturday, but the on Sunday, thousands of people gathered around the Lincoln Memorial, and perhaps you saw there's a very funny YouTube. I don't know if it's on YouTube. It probably was taken down from YouTube, but there's a guy at a swimming pool who's getting ready to jump in the water. I mean, he does not have a life jacket on, and it's the same actor actually playing both parts. So the guard comes and says, don't jump in the water. You need a life jacket. And the swimmer says, nah, it's okay. I'm a good swimmer. I don't need a life jacket. Oh, yes, you do. And so he goes on and on. It's a very humorous parable about the use of vaccines and masks and all the rest. There's so many parallels. It's just a very ingenious, I say YouTube clip, but I don't know if it's on YouTube or anything. I assume it's been taken down from YouTube. Also, too, there's another very funny one called I'm a Trans-Vaxxer. I've decided to identify as a vaccinated person, because you don't have to do anything except declare yourself to be something that you weren't before. So obviously it's a takeoff on transgender. Someone can now go into school and or just go to the Office of Vital Statistics, right, where they keep birth records, and change your gender by just declaring it. So, and therefore, why it would be perfectly logical to do the same thing with your status as a vaccinated or unvaccinated. It starts out by saying, I was born in a body that was unvaccinated, and I've come to realize how wrong that is. And so now I'm going to identify as a vaccinated person. Again, it's a humorous clip about how the logic of it's a tremendous spoof against the logic of transgenderism, and it's using that to counteract the logic of the vaccine mandates and all the rest. So this rally at the Lincoln Memorial, I have to say this, I found myself mesmerized. Even though I've heard a lot of the discussions before, you know, if you are interested in this stuff, if you try to listen to this stuff, you've heard a lot of people don't want to hear this stuff. A lot of people don't listen to the many doctors and nurses and philosophers and psychologists that are speaking against the Fauci plan against this pandemic. So anyways, but I was mesmerized because these are doctors who are, you know, we rightly so put doctors at kind of a high status of our society. They're usually very wealthy people. They're usually very respected and well-educated people. They're the least likely people you'd see standing up at the Lincoln Memorial at a protest rally of sorts. You know, you usually think of protest people as being the underdogs, the underprivileged, fighting for rights that they haven't had, and their life is being uncomfortable and all the rest. So, but all these doctors have very comfortable lives, and they're all... But what rang through, of course, was the sadness that they all felt that they weren't able to help the people that were coming to them who are sick with this COVID and use drugs that they know are good. They've helped so many people with drugs, especially we hear ivermectin all the time, and other therapeutics, antichromal body infusions, and you should really make yourself aware of those. But I the thing I want to share with you is that if you go on, I doubt if it's on YouTube as well. I think you'll have to go to Rumble or some other, just the website called. Stop the Mandates, and probably might be on LifeSite, if not now, soon. Anyways, to see these doctors almost in tears protesting, and that they don't have to protest. Well, there's no personal advantage for them to protest, and there's all sorts of personal disadvantages for them to protest. So, anyways, let's see. This hour is going by quickly enough, isn't it, Nick, there? Let's get in our third break, and I do want to share a little bit more about what's going on. There, a lot of athletes are dying on the playing field right after they get vaxxed. Let's talk about that when we get back. I'm Father Tom Coyes. I'm a guest host on The Winds of Change, and you are listening to the new EWTN, Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland. We are 88.5 FM WSFI and WNDZ 750 AM.
Here's good news about a great school with in-person instruction for your child. Father Anthony is asking you to send your children to St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy for in-person instruction. Excellence in educating the mind, heart, soul, and spirit
of each student. Cost should not be an obstacle to enrolling your child at St. Stan's Academy. We have scholarships and financial aid available to fit all budgets. Everyone who wants to give their child a Catholic education can do so at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. Faith, virtue, honor. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is an elementary school offering grades pre-kindergarten to eighth grade and is located minutes from downtown Chicago. Call the school office at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or visit sdstanschicago.org for St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
On AM 750, WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Here's something that you should know about what's happening at St. Stan's. The Daughters of St. Mary of Providence Religious Order operates the Providence Soup Kitchen on the premises of St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish. The soup kitchen serves a midday meal Monday through Thursday from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Anyone who needs a meal is welcome. If you can volunteer to help and serve meals on a regular basis, please call Sister Darlene at 773-870-2435. That's 773-870-2435. St. Stan's is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Father Coy's here. We're a little bit of time left. What do we have in our hour? This report stings, and we can't ignore these things that are going on in the world today regarding COVID and the vaccine. And this is what part of the reason why these doctors are saying stop the mandates. Let's see, where am I getting this from? It's West Media, Free West Media website called that. And it's talking about reports of athletes who suddenly collapse have been increasing lately. Heart problems such as heart inflammation are often the cause, one of the known life-threatening side effects of COVID vaccines, which the manufacturers themselves warn against. So this is an article from 2021, a month or two old, but wonder what, there certainly could be more. So you just got to, we have to appreciate that when we hear that the vaccines are safe, we got to be skeptical, my friends. We got to be skeptical. Here, even on a quick look at Wikipedia lists soccer players who have collapsed and died. In no other year mentioned since football records have been kept, which goes back to 1889, is the list of football players, soccer players, dying on the field any so high, anywhere near so high. And of course, it goes on to say that the media is curiously silent about this global story. The German online outlet Wochenblick compiled a reference list of the cardiac incidents in October, while another online outlet published a new list of sportsmen collapsing on the field. Other outlets are also listed with some overlapping cases, but other new ones. These do not include Filipino professional basketball star Roder Cabrera, who on Wednesday in last October collapsed during a tournament. The Tribune from the Philippines reported he had a cardiac arrest. Roder Cabrera later lost consciousness inside the locker room before he was immediately rushed to the hospital. He was diagnosed with fatal arrhythmia, according to a local news. Many top athletes from Europe and the United States have reported serious side effects after getting vaccinated. For French professional tennis player Jeremy Cardi, it meant the end of his career. Cardi, formerly ranked 73rd in the world, said he had been unable to train and play since I got my vaccination between the Olympics and the U.S. Open. I've had a problem. I have a series of problems. As a result, I can't train. I can't play. Let me go down here just a little bit farther in the article. In Montana, a Park City high school football player, Jed Hoffman, passed away almost just a week after collapsing on the field during practice. These cases are usually not listed in the ongoing carnage that comes from people who just been vaccinated. It's a sad thing I have to share with you here, but I don't know how to exactly relate this to you, except that we need to appreciate that it's not as safe especially this is interesting because athletes are the young people who are the fittest, right? They're not the old and with many comorbidities, as we like to say. That's a new phrase in our parlance since COVID, right? Comorbidities, with all sorts of other diseases and health problems if you get COVID or get vaccinated. So let's see. Last October, cardiac and circulatory events on the sports fields went through the roof. Below is a shocking list of athletes who collapsed in October, just in 1 month, from heart problems and circulatory diseases such as strokes. Unfortunately, some of these incidents were fatal for the often very young athletes. The numbers are alarming, especially in view of mandatory COVID shots. Let's go through just a few of these. Because they're real. And these families are dealing with this stuff. At an encounter between PGS Edvardo Bosico and Romero Menti in Umbria, Italy, last October, a young player from a visiting team collapses without any external influence and is transported to the hospital. Martin Lefebvre, who's only 16, from FC Ogno, collapses without any previous illness with a stroke during the game against FC Saint-Lomanche on October of 2021. He is paralyzed on one side and has no ability to speak. Niels de Wolf, 27, a Belgian soccer player from the White Star Sombeck, suffered a cardiac arrest immediately after the game against Verenborek in October, was resuscitated with a defibrillator, but died in the hospital in October 2021. There are 69 of these athletes who collapsed and, in many cases, died soon after they were vaccinated. Of course, I know that a skeptical person will say, well, there's just only a few of them, and you got to expect a few casualties when you're fighting a war, and we are fighting a deadly disease, so we got to keep using the vaccine, even though many will die in the process. Well, that may or may not, that can even be true, but that still then should say, then let me be the one who decides whether I'm going to take that risk, whether I die. So powerful. Anyways, God bless you for listening. Let's keep praying. We need divine intervention. We need our Lord, our Blessed Mother, and all the saints to show us the way, give us confidence, and we will be saved. Anyways, I'm Father Tom Coyes, guest host on The Winds of Change. You've been listening to the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice of Chicagoland, WSFI 88.5 FM, and WNDZ AM 750. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred.
Read the signs, no time to hide.